I'd like you to turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. We often use the word church, and that means different things to different people. For most people, it indicates a building. A building is a church. But do you know that in the New Testament, or in the whole Bible, no building is ever called a church? And then people refer to a denomination like the Methodist Church or the Baptist Church, the Pentecostal Church. In the Bible, there is no such thing as a group, a denomination being called a church. We have to get out of our mind unbiblical words, because if we use unbiblical words, we will get into an unbiblical way of thinking. So we need to come to Scripture and see what the Bible calls the church. Then we have a proper concept about church. It's like every other word. For example, grace. Grace is one of the most misunderstood words in Christendom today. Most people's understanding of grace is that under law, God was very strict. And God sort of changed after Jesus came, and grace is as if God says, now it doesn't matter if you sin, because Christ has died, you can be forgiven. But that's the opposite of what grace means. Grace means under the law, you couldn't overcome sin. Now I give you power to overcome sin. Grace is power. And once you understand that, you get delivered from sin's power. One of the devil's great aims is to keep us ignorant of the truth. Jesus said, when you know the truth will make you free. I remember as a young Christian, I was born in an Orthodox family. I hadn't read the Bible when I got converted at the age of 19 and a half. And I was very confused by all that I saw in Christendom of so many different denominations. And every one of them held the Bible and said, we've got the truth. Everyone. So, I was finally came to get some understanding on that by seeing one verse, John 8:32, which says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free from sin. That's the context. So, when I saw that that is the mark of a church having the truth, that if I listen to it, it'll free me from sin in my life. And I was a slave to sin, just like every other human being. A slave in five areas. Actions, sins of deed, words, anger, lies, sins of thought, dirty thoughts, sins of attitude, unloving attitudes to people, and sins of motive. That means doing good things with the wrong motive. These are the five areas of sin. Word, deed, thought, attitude, and motive. I was a sinner in all of those. And when I read that, if you know the truth will set you free. I said, I can find out which is the true church then. The church that has the truth is not just somebody who holds the Bible, because the Pharisees held the Bible too. The Old Testament. But they were completely different from Jesus, who also quoted the Old Testament. So I see that there are churches which are like the Pharisees today and the churches that are following Christ. And the way to find the difference is by seeing which church will help me to be free from sin in all these areas. So there are many groups that call themselves churches today. Matthew 16 and verse 18 is the first time in the whole Bible that the word church occurs. The first time. The first time that Jesus used it. And he said, on this rock, you know, the rock is what Simon Peter just confessed. Peter had said, you are the Christ. Verse 16, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, that's right, on that rock, which you just confessed. Christ, the Son of the living God, revealed to you by my Father, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. So I learned something, that the real church that Jesus builds, hell and the powers of darkness cannot overpower it. And this is what Jesus came on earth to build. He did not come to build a bunch of holy individuals who have no connection with each other, but holy individuals who come into fellowship with each other. In the Old Testament, they were not built together. Another picture that the Bible uses is the church as a building. It says a holy temple to the Lord. And those of you who are from India know that in India we don't build houses with wood because they get eaten up with termites. In India, houses are built with bricks. Every house is built with bricks. And we can think of each brick as an individual believer. And those bricks are cemented together and joined together, and then it's constructed as a building. That's a building. You see, a pile of bricks is just a congregation. But when they are built together, it's a building. That's a church, in picture language. But if you want your independence, you will not want to be built together with others, with one brick on top of you, one underneath, one to the left and one to the right, and cemented together as if you're stuck together and you can't escape. But that's where there's safety. See, the way they build church buildings in India is a truck will come with 10,000 bricks and unload it by the side of the road. And then the masons take those bricks and cement it together and build the building. Now, if that is not done, and those 10,000 bricks are lying on the road, an amazing miracle takes place in India. They begin to reduce in number day by day. And in a few days, they'll all disappear. Because a couple of streets down, somebody else's building is his house too. And that's what happens when you're an individual believer, not linked with others. Satan can just pick you up one by one. And that's exactly the reason why many people make decisions and determine and then they fall away. They are not built together with other people of like mind. I cannot be built together with anybody I like. You know, that's how I said we join up with people of our own community or our own intellectual level. God wants to unite us not on the basis of intellect or community or language, but on the basis of spiritual hunger and desire. I want to be united with people who are going the same direction. Not those who want to go to heaven when they die. It's one of the prayers I prayed many years ago when we started our work in India. I said, Lord, in India there are 1,200 million people. All of them want to go to heaven. Have you ever met a man who doesn't want to go to heaven? I've never met one. In any religion. All of them want to go to heaven when they die. Am I going to gather all of them? No. I want to gather those who want to follow Jesus Christ on earth before they die. And that's a very small number. Because Jesus said, very few find the narrow way that leads to life. Because there are restrictions there. You can't live in sin and walk this narrow way. You can't have grudges against others and walk this narrow way. For example, Jesus said that if you haven't forgiven somebody, you have a grudge against someone, maybe for some wrong that he did to you 10 years ago, God will not forgive you. It's clear cut. In fact, in the Lord's Prayer, he taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so on. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. And then he went on in Matthew 6 to say, if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive you. Think of a person who considers himself a Christian and he has got a tremendous grudge against somebody who did some real harm to him maybe some years ago. There could be people sitting here like that. You haven't forgiven somebody because he did some harm to you. And you die in that condition. Is the word of God true? That if you don't forgive others, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. I believe it. I believe the words of Jesus. Heaven and earth will pass away, those words will not pass away. Then, after you die, is there a second chance that you get? Do you believe there's a second chance? I don't believe it. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. So what if a person has been going to church for 25 years and then he's got this tremendous grudge against somebody and he dies? He has died unforgiven. Can he go to heaven now? Unforgiven? And all because he would not forgive somebody. I believe it. I find very few preachers preaching this. I'm sure the devil doesn't want people to preach because he wants a lot of people in hell. And he knows that these people will all land up with him. So he said, why should they know the truth? I want to tell you the truth. I tell you the truth because I love you. I want to tell you exactly what Jesus said. If you do not forgive others, you will not be forgiven. So these are the type of things that we need to get rid of if you want to be built together in the church. It doesn't matter our intellectual level, social level, culture and all is unimportant. But spiritually, we believe the words of Jesus Christ. And we take them seriously. And then the powers of darkness will not be able to overpower such a church.